On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, Hollywood allegations, a disaster in Sephora, Justice League, Facebook, and the magic sex orb.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
Petra, there is a lot of celebrities in a lot of trouble. Sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been...
The dam has burst.
It has. It has. And I didn't talk to you about this like months ago when it hit the news because I hadn't processed it yet.
Yeah.
Did you see the story about Joss Whedon getting divorced and his wife coming forward with years of cheating and gaslighting and just really bad behavior on his part? And this is the creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
This is your...
Yeah, kind of...
I won't say feminist. Idol, but it's somebody you really like.
Yes, definitely.
It
hurts.
It does kind of... That sounds ridiculous, but it does.
Yeah, like, yeah. As a female fan... And outspoken feminist, yes. It's like you don't even know how to talk about it.
Well, it's weird with these actors and movies. And I see how these people get famous. Why that's even a thing of being famous. Because we do feel like we kind of know them. It's the odd part. We don't. We obviously don't know them for shit. If we saw them on the street, they would like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, get away.
But... We feel like we know them.
Yeah, because...
So when this crap happens to your favorite actor, your favorite singer, your favorite somebody, or somebody whose art you like...
Yeah.
It's like you say you like them. We don't really like them. We like their art.
Yeah, and you know what? That is amazing, because I had this article pulled up here, and it goes through all kinds of different, you know, feminists talking about their reaction to this. And the very last one on the list, and it was really the one that...
Reaction to everybody in general or to one person?
No, to the whole Joss Whedon thing.
Oh, to Joss Whedon specifically.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and this is a three-month-old article, and she says, it's not a Cosby situation. I'm not in the boycott camp. But as I consume and probably enjoy the creative works where he's been an impact, I'll focus any appreciation on his writing talent, but will be significantly less worshipful of the man and his presence in the world. That's from Esther Kostanowitz. I probably butchered the last name, sorry. But and I liked where she stood on that. Like she's going to still consume his art. But the reverence for the individual behind it is permanently tainted. It's gone. It's just not there anymore.
If you can separate that, that's fantastic. And we have to a point with some people. I think
you have to.
I try.
Yeah.
We've talked about it. Michael Jackson is an unbelievably talented dude, even though obviously he's passed away now. But that dude obviously was a child pornographer.
He was a pedophile.
Pedophile, all that crap. I mean, but
hell, his voice was the soundtrack of our youth, and that's not going to change.
Oh, well, here's some people. I found a list of
people in trouble.
Oh my gosh, I didn't. Is there just so many more people we know? But let me just go through a few of these you might have heard or not heard. Obviously, Bill Cosby is he the one that modernly started this whole damn thing? Really?
I think so. I'm going to guess there's always been rumors, and I'm sure in Hollywood, I'm sure it's like a small town anywhere, like everybody knew, look out for Harvey Weinstein, you know, don't
right.
let yourself, I mean.
And there's always been some, like the next one on this is Woody Allen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know that that's been famous for years and years and years.
I wasn't a fan of his before. Like, so for, to me,
it's hard to,
yeah, it's all lumped in. Yeah. Like, I don't appreciate his art or him.
Yeah. And that one, even I wasn't 100% sure until I read this, but basically what that dude was found with nude photos of his partner's 20-year-old adopted daughter.
Then he married his 20-year-old adopted daughter.
Yeah. So he was having an affair with his daughter.
Yeah.
Basically, even though she was adopted, I mean, hell, she was living as his daughter.
Yeah, that was an underage teenage girl living at the house.
God
and
dang.
He ended up with her.
R. Kelly, John Travolta. How about Britney Spears?
What'd she get in trouble for?
Accused of sexual harassment by a former bodyguard, Fernando. He claimed
wow.
the pop star flashed him and invited him to her room while she was nude. Damn it, Britney.
Well, that is harassment. That is.
Sean Penn, Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt's was not a big one.
What?
Charged with indecent exposure in 1988. E-moon drivers on the Pacific Coast Highway. Come on, that's
so,
nothing.
Well, not on that highway. I've moon drivers on other highways.
Yeah.
So I think pretty much almost all teenagers have at some point.
David Copperfield?
What'd he do?
Just general, accused of sexually assaulting a woman after a junior investigation. Well, actually it says not enough evidence to press charges. This is just a list of accused, I suppose.
Accused. Okay. And assault can be anything from grabbing a butt to full-on rape. You do realize that, don't you?
How about Al Gore?
Really?
In 2006?
Did you hear what I said? Did you register that? Okay.
Say it again.
That it can be anything from, like, touching, like grab a butt or something
right.
like that, which is... Under it's assault. It's you've touched him
right
to rape. It goes all the way up.
All the way to anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he was accused in 2006 of making unwanted sexual advances towards a female masseuse.
Okay.
But then it says cleared of any wrongdoing. I hate this stupid thing. I don't care if they're accused. I want them. If somebody's guilty, who gives a shit if they were? You know.
Well,
I mean, going
there's
for,
a lot of them that are, like, accused, stand accused right now.
I guess. Jim Morrison, Tupac Shakur. Jim Morrison, I'm talking from The Doors,
mm-hmm.
literally, from 1971. Good Lord. Tommy Lee, Nelly, Anthony Kiedis. That's your guy from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Indecent exposure and sexual battery after performing a concert in 1989. He appealed, didn't say he won or not.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson, Jim Brown, Jeffrey Jones. Old Dirty Bastard. No way. Michael Jackson. Anyway. And the newest ones are all these new people, right?
Yeah.
How about these guys? Bill Cosby, obviously.
Yes.
This Jeffrey Tumor. He's in a lot of comedy stuff. Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah. Isn't he in Transporting?
No, I don't know.
It's a current show. And I saw some blurb headline very quickly that I guess they're releasing him from the contract and trying to figure out how to go on with the show or end it without him. How do you feel about this? Because there's a bunch of them. Like, Kevin Spacey's the one that comes to mind immediately right here. He's been erased from a movie and dropped from House of Cards, which is about him.
Yeah.
His character.
Yeah.
And,
it's entertainment, and they're in the business to sell things, and if they think that their name attached to it will make it sell less, they have every right to write somebody
out.
They
do. They do. Absolutely. I agree.
That
but
being said,
do you think maybe we're jumping a gun?
I don't know.
With how this we're is all responding
kinda,
to
this,
it.
This is all kind of new.
I feel bad being the one to say that this is getting crazy, but it's almost like, okay, we've had the sorority house meeting here and all of the dirty laundry has been thrown on the floor.
Right.
Okay. And we're absolutely positively like, here are the rules and no infringements are going to be accepted from now on. And everybody knows the behavior that is expected because let's face it, that's been, like, we have what our culture dictates and says that it is acceptable behavior. And on the surface, we've all nodded our heads and said, yeah, 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 that's great. But it's been shit going on underground for centuries. We finally come to the point where, okay, now everybody has it clearly defined what is acceptable and what is not. I'm not saying that they weren't harassed, assaulted, yeah, that all this crap has gone on, but like, are we just going to fire 50% of the human race? I mean, because it's kind of getting to the point where almost all the guys are getting accused, and maybe they've all behaved that way, but I'm almost like you can't shut down the world. You've got to, like, okay, you're like if we were having an argument,
right?
Like, and you figured out that this was completely unacceptable behavior, and then would we not move on?
Yeah, and I guess they probably will move on. I mean, like a lot of these people from what I was reading here, like
Michael
Jackson and Woody Allen, all those people, they were very successful. I mean,
yes,
a lot of these people. So I don't know. I mean, people do eventually kind of forgive and forget, I think.
I don't want to forgive and forget. I want everything spelled out. You know, mm-hmm. laid out, these are the rules, and the underground infringements aren't going to be accepted anymore. Like, as a culture, we're tackling this issue and really talking about it instead of making a joke about the sexual harassment training.
Right. Well, I'm with you. Okay. What would your plan be? What would your ideal, you know, somebody for Kevin Spacey, what would your ideal thing for him be? Assuming he wants to keep acting and have a career.
I would probably suspend production. Like it was evidently easy enough to erase him from the movie. Fine. Good. Do that. But with House of Cards and with, you know, any other big ticket, I would probably suspend production for a little while and
then start back up in a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see that.
They're not on a specific schedule there. They could do something like that. And it's not punishment so much as let's all figure this out. Let's all make sure that we're on the same page here as of what is acceptable and what is not. And I know that, you know, oh, snowflakes, you know, you can't take a joke, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, this needs to be talked about. And I don't think writing people out of shows and burying them in like a dark basement is really going to fix the problem.
No, I guess not. In a way, I'm kind of surprised to hear you take this part of this because I know you feel very strongly, and that's great. I thought you would be more of the opinion of no, they should never be allowed to act again type situations. So I'm glad not glad, but I'm surprised that this is your stance on this.
No.
But as long as people, the main thing, I think, at least in my mind, and there's no way to know this.
Yeah.
Because, again, we're talking like we know these people. But it would be nice if people just learned a damn lesson.
And see them change.
Yeah.
That's what I want. I want to see some change.
And
I don't think you're seeing change if you're just shoving them in the basement.
I'd like to see sincere apologies and sincere, I didn't realize I got, I don't know, somehow, yeah, I was wrong. Yes, I'm sorry. No, I'm not going to do that again. I've learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Something, that's really all I want as far as from Joe Blow public. Not that they owe me anything, but that would go a long way towards this pseudo fake me feel like I have a relationship with these people that I really don't.
Yeah.
But
and I you know, I find myself like with the stars of the show feel it leaning one way, and with the big wigs like the Harvey Weinsteins of the world kind of like falling the other way. Like I don't know. I mean, it's just a weird,
awful. Steven Seagal, George Takei. There's lots of people lately, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, Steven Seagal, not at all shocked. George Takei, floored. You know, there's...
Well, and some,
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe some of these men, like that was an old allegation. I will say I read up on that one a little bit, and it was from like the 90s, I think. And I want to hope that at some point between 1991, say, and 2017, George Takei woke the fuck up and has been a better person than that. I guess I think most of these guys.
It's not going to be easy. Oop. Quint Silver earns you unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase, every win. Actually,
we get a commercial from who's this dude?
I don't know. Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson.
We got a fake commercial from Samuel L. Jackson. Or not a fake commercial. We got a real commercial thrown in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't, I make a difference between, thank you for interrupting me.
You're welcome. That was Samuel L. Jackson. That wasn't me.
It was you dicking around on the computer. That's what it was.
Damn it. I caught. Samuel L. Jackson got me caught.
There's a difference between like assault that some of these guys are accused of and some of the harassment, but some of the patterns of harassment are off. I don't know. We need to figure all of this out and really be able to talk about it and just shuffling everybody to the basement.
How about Louis C.K.?
I actually admired the hell out of him for going ahead and saying, yeah, I was a dumbass. I did that.
He has. In his initial statement, he didn't apologize. He didn't actually say, I'm sorry. People pointed that out a lot.
Okay.
But then later, obviously, he did.
Yeah.
But it was a whole thing of...
Like I thought it was implied by saying that he had done it.
That's what I
took it as an assault survivor, I took it as an apology. Just somebody actually standing up and said, yeah, I was that asshole.
So he would have comedians or actresses or whoever was interviewing for whatever part they were interviewing for come into his office. He would ask them, well, would you mind if I masturbate in front of you while you're sitting here? I guess, right? Or else just do it. Sometimes he would ask, apparently. Often he would not ask. He would just start doing it.
Oh, and this article that I had pulled up here mentioned that was 3 months old mentioned Louis C.K. is one that, like, rumors had twirled about for years. So he was on the chopping block and so 3 months ago.
He must have, when some of this broke, he must have been sweating it out. He must have been like, Oh, my God, I'm definitely going to go down for this.
Yes. Definitely.
Here's what Louis had to say about dating. We'll break down some of this. I think you'll find this interesting.
It's how we evolve is dating. It's how we choose each other. And dating is a real drag for a lot of people, but I always think it's a nice thing. You know, when I see a date, I'm always happy. When I see a couple on a date.
Can you believe this little skit of his
has been pinned a million times on Pinterest as a feminist.
It took months to craft this.
Yeah.
Small little comedy clubs to get the timing just right before the special.
Yeah. Go
it's
for
it. Trying, you know? You see a couple on a date, it means there's still courage out there. That takes courage to go on a date.
And it's still
for
funny.
Both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Two very different kinds of courage. The male courage, traditionally speaking, is that he decided to ask. He went up to a random woman who he has no idea if she's going to like him or not, and he walked up to her. Terrifying. Everything in your body's telling you, just go the fuck home and jerk off. Don't do this.
And he's been jerking off in front of every female stuck in an office with him.
And he didn't go home and jerk off either, by the way.
Yeah.
Imagine the courage to ask a woman who you just walked in your office.
You have to, let's just throw this out here. You have to already know you have so much power over her, she's not going to tell anybody.
And more likely you'll say yes, I guess. At some point, if enough people said no, you'd probably like, well, I should probably stop doing that. But.
No.
You don't think?
No. I think all of you guys know jacking off in front of people is not okay. All right.
Oh, I know, but I'm
you
saying.
You do. You were raised in America.
I'm not saying he doesn't know it's okay, but I'm saying if enough women had said no, maybe he'd have stopped asking whether he knew it was okay
or not.
All right,
you're victim blaming. I want to hit you in the head with a microphone. Will you listen to me now?
Okay.
Okay. God, you're pissing me off. No, like he knows that it's unacceptable.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
He knows it's on him.
Yep.
He also knows he has power over that woman standing across from him.
Right.
It, even if she does say no, he knows he's got enough power that she's not going to tell other people.
Right.
Like not openly. But he knows he's got a very good chance that she's not going to argue with him. That is despicable. I mean, it is gross. And no, don't you dare say women should have said no. Do you have any idea? Like, you haven't been on a job interview or anything like that in over 20 years, have you?
No.
Okay. It's a bad situation anyhow. Can you imagine being sexually harassed?
Yes. I mean, okay. It's a bad situation. I get what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah, don't sit there and say that they should have said no. That, you know, they're beating themselves up wishing that they said no.
Right.
They spend years, like, with his dick image in their head wishing that they had just fucking said no. It's horrible. That's hell on earth. That's why they're traumatized from that shit. Sorry, I went someplace very dark. But that is, I mean, it is just despicable. There's all kinds of layers of this going on. Women are starting to speak up, and hopefully we can have a conversation about it, and people can start to understand that, no, this behavior is never acceptable. And that when somebody speaks out and says, hey, that really important guy that everybody thinks is so nice, he grabbed me. Maybe we will start to listen to them, and they'll be brave enough to come forward and say something.
I agree. I didn't mean to open up that whole can of worms. I was just trying to make a funny little quip about this little segment
that,
here.
All right, can we just agree that rape jokes and sexual harassment is just not real funny stuff?
Well, he's the one saying it. I was just basically going along with that.
Okay.
But
you're going along with you're going down a bad road. Let's try not to.
I was just making commentary on his stand-up.
Okay.
That's all I meant to do there. So
okay.
I'm sorry if I offended you.
You triggered there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I offended you there. I wasn't meaning that,
the
whole women power, all that. I'm just kind of trying to flip on this a little bit.
But he walked up and said, hi, Jews. And she's like, No. It's like, give me a second. You try to get through this membrane of, you know, and then if it works and you say, you want to go out sometime? Sometimes she'll say yes. And if she says yes, that's her courage. And the courage it takes for a woman to say yes is beyond anything I can imagine. A woman saying yes to a date with a man is literally insane and ill-advised.
And this is true. And I think this is, no, seriously.
that's why this biz a funny bit.
I mean, it's horrible how incredibly true this is. Like, you cannot begin to imagine the terror of being stuck in a vehicle with a stranger that outweighs you by 75 pounds and you don't
and
know their intentions.
The whole species existence counts on them doing it, and I don't know how do women still go out with guys when you consider the fact that there is no greater threat to women than men. We're the number one threat to women.
It's true.
How can he stand there? But that's really kind of, how can a person stand there in front of literally thousands of people and broadcast this to millions of people.
And he thinks he's harmless.
Is it just, I'm just jerking off. That's just nothing.
He's got to be
just
like, rationalizing it somehow.
Like it just doesn't register that that's harmful or that's bad or wrong or something. Like that is a really, when I saw this, and I wanted to talk about it on the podcast. I don't know. It's a weird how we can trick our minds into thinking something is okay. That's clearly not okay.
Self-delusional.
Is that the word? That's a good word for it. Sure. Something. I was going to say split personality, delusional, doublethink from 1984. I don't know. Something.
It's pretty bad. And I mean, he's giving this completely sincerely. And
oh, like I said, yeah, he's went over this a million times in comedy clubs.
I feel so fooled by him. Yeah.
Globally and historically, we're the number one cause of injury and mayhem to women. We're the worst thing that ever happens to them.
Wow. I mean,
yeah, Louis, you are.
I mean, it could be, we've talked about it. He's jerking off in front of people. It could be worse, but it's still bad, right?
Yes, it's very bad.
It's very, very bad. It's a flaw in human nature. He would, at this time when this was being recorded, he would have passed a lie detector test that he was not, I don't know, he was a friend to women and was not,
you think,
a sexual.
Or do you think he just knows that this is actually truly, it's funny. It's funny.
Maybe. I don't know. It's an odd.
Maybe he's just that good an actor. I don't know. But he does know he's fucked up.
That's true. You know what our number one threat is? Heart disease. That's the whole thing. That's it. Just our own heart going, dude, I can't. You can't keep doing this. I told you three strokes ago that this is not smart. But women still yeah, I'll go out with you alone at night. What are you, nuts? I'll get in your car with you with my little shoulders. Hi, where are we going? To your death, statistically.
I mean, it's a funny bit because it is humorous play on something serious. But then he's the guy who's doing the serious part that he's making fun of. This is a whole study in psychology,
you know,
or some
yeah,
sort.
Maybe he's just like, well, I don't touch him, so I'm not that bad. I don't know what he's thinking there.
And maybe it's the, well, I do ask him, and most of them say yes.
Most of them say yes.
So I am asking, but then some of them don't. But then some of them, I don't think he did.
No, you have to know. You have to know that it is your authority that is scaring them into not being able to say no.
If that's the case, then he must think or thought that everyone, all right, let's just assume that he does not, I'm just going to assume that he did not know that his authority was making women say yes. He did. So that means he must have thought that the random woman on the street to any other normal guy, when asked that, would be like, oh, okay, whatever. Right?
That would be, yeah. I mean, it's just so incredible. I'm over here shaking my head. Yeah, it's just not possible. Like, you don't do that.
How do they still do it? If you're a guy, try to imagine that you could only date a half bear, half lion. And you're like, oh, I hope this one's nice.
Wow. You know who's laughing his ass off about this?
Who?
Who should have a whole bit on it. On
who?
Dane Cook. Dane Cook. Nobody gives a fuck that he stole his jokes now. No. That's the least thing on anybody's mind.
I haven't masturbated in front of anybody.
If I was Dane Cook, I would be up writing. I'd be up 24/7 writing the greatest comedy bit that's ever been.
Yeah.
On that whole situation.
Yeah.
Like, I was ostracized from comedy and serious comedians for joke stealing from this guy. This is what you're accusing me of, and that's what I'm so bad that I'm just awful. Yeah, he needs to.
Yeah, he needs to shoot back on that one.
Yes,
he does.
He totally.
Oh, so how did it feel? I know you like Louis C.K. a lot. How did it feel when you heard all this coming out? Was it like me?
It was
hurt.
It was disappointing because of I've heard bits. I've heard this bit before and other things, and I don't know. Maybe it's because we're fans of comedy.
Yeah.
We call our show a comedy podcast, even though sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not. But in general, we try to be some humorous on stuff. So I don't know. I guess I feel like comedians, I don't know. I hold them to a higher standard, right or wrong.
Yeah.
Right or wrong, I just do. I feel like they're thinking, and when they, you know, a lot of the things they write and talk about are things that have been well thought out.
Very insightful.
Very insightful social commentary with a twist to make you laugh, but at the same time to make you think.
Yeah.
That's the kind of comedy I like anyway. And he was great at it, just like this, before you knew his deal. Like, you think he's taking a very serious subject and turning it around and making it humorous, but at the same time, he's drawing attention to it.
Yeah.
That, yeah, you know what? Yeah, well, men are the biggest threat to women. That is a good point.
Yeah. It is. It's just hard.
Hearing him.
Really disappointing.
I don't know. And he's so prolific, too. I mean, who comes out with an hour worth of stand-up material a year for 7 or 8, 10 years in a row?
Yeah. And all the other shows and things that he's put into.
Yes. So, yeah, he's so prolific that it really does. It bothers me that he's doing this crap. That being said, he did come out and face it head on. And basically not trying to, he came out and admitted it basically. Like, every one of these people are telling the truth and I've been a jackass and I'm sorry for it. That's pretty much what his statement said in a nutshell. He was very contrite about it and not blaming anybody but himself.
Get out of our sight for a little while because we're mad at you. Come back with a comedy special in a year.
He better be working on his bit with this bit. Somehow tying in what his thought process was at this time. And there's a bit of a blueprint for this. It wasn't for sexual stuff. But back in the day, Richard Pryor, I know people, comedians, probably don't remember a lot of this. This is how long I've been a fan of comedy.
Yeah.
His HBO special, Richard Pryor, live on Sunset Strip, when I was a kid, was one of the funniest underground make cassette tapes to your friends because it had all kinds of cussing. It had a million F words in it that you weren't supposed to hear.
Yeah.
And his bit at the end just killed. And it was a bit about him, how he had been caught maybe 6 months, a year earlier. He had got caught for like cocaine. And a lot of cocaine. And he got caught. And the whole and the only reason he got caught, this is facts, is because he was freebasing at home and was either so high or just so inept at it that his freebase pipe and lighter blew up and he caught himself on fire.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and so he had a whole bit about this. And he starts the bit with like, I'll butcher it, but the gist of it was, he's like, yeah, I know you motherfuckers out there have been making fun of me last 6 months, and he says, I get your jokes, I hear secondhand your all's little attempt at humor, and he lights a match. And he moves it across the, and he's like, what's this? Richard Pryor running down the street. And it just kills. And the audience just releases this laughter of like, all right.
Yeah, like I finally get to laugh at this.
Yeah, we get to make fun of you here. And then he has a whole 15-minute bit on that. But that's his introduction to it of, Richard Pryor running down the street on fire is a lit match.
Well, he needs an entire special of like,
why I'm a dumbass.
Why I'm a dumbass and my knuckles drag the ground.
Yes. Louis C.K. needs that. And he's talented enough, hopefully insightful enough to, you know, maybe let's just be as positive, so rosy sunshine as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this will give us some insight into this psychology that we're talking about. Maybe through his comedy, we'll be like, Oh, so that's how you can totally have two contradictory thoughts in your head.
Yeah.
And not, and be okay with that.
Maybe, maybe. But, you know, with this happening in Hollywood, at least it's public figures that we all know and talk about.
Right.
And it just kind of struck me as ironic that, like, right now in our country, like, the two things of social change going on, Hollywood and the sexual harassment scandals, and the NFL and their protest, you know, and it is public figures.
Mm, yeah, you're right. So, somebody had an incident in your favorite store.
Oh, well, I don't have my iPad open yet.
Well, you better get it open.
My favorite store. Oh, yeah.
What's everybody out there, women's favorite makeup store in the world?
Well, all right.
For most people, I bet they'd say
Sephora or Ulta. There's all kinds of different makeup stores, but I'm prone to Sephora.
I hear a lot of your female friends mention Sephora.
Sephora.
I think
yes.
That's right up there. So yes. What? So what did some... Tell me about the incident.
Okay. All right, my turn. All right. This was from Insider this week, and it's been on Facebook and child reportedly destroys over $1,000 of makeup at Sephora. The photos are horrific if you're a makeup lover, and it's looking at a Makeup Forever counter.
So what did a little bastard do?
He got in all of the testers. And he just crumbled them. He just did, and I'm saying he, she, it, I don't care what it is. It reached up with his little grubby paws and absolutely busted every pan. And Makeup Forever does their blushes and their eyeshadows kind of all together. There are 48 eyeshadows here. They're $21 a piece. It's $1,008 of makeup.
So it's all up. The little disc of eyeshadows.
Yep.
And he went in there and just like pounded and like or something or destroyed them.
It looks like he took his fingers and just pushed his fingers because it's kind of soft powdery. Like you can just bust that up.
Yeah.
And it's like he played in it like it was finger paints for the whole thing. And this would be time consuming. Those things are pretty big. They're the size of a half dollar. And I mean, he had to be going to town at that for a little while.
We don't have kids, so we get this frequently of ourselves thinking if we had kids, they wouldn't do anything like this. But I don't know. I feel
there's
like
no
I know
way
we'd have better control than some of these parents, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Well, one, I wouldn't take my toddler, small child into Sephora to be distracted and leave my kid playing and stuff like that. I have a very good idea how much everything in there costs. And it irks me when teenagers are in there rubbing their grubby little fingers over the testers because they have to sanitize those every night. And mm-hmm. I'm a cosmetologist. I know all this. And it's just, it's frustrating. And just to like see a picture and yes, I know this is 1%er problems, blah, blah, blah. It's expensive makeup. I get it. I've got one little four pan of eyeshadows from that brand, and to look at over $1,000 of it all just busted up because somebody wasn't watching their kid.
Urban Decay.
Somebody wasn't watching their kid.
You know, one of the businesses we used to own was a gym, and I used to see people all the time bring their kids into this adult gym, which is clearly for adults.
Yeah.
And what do you think when you bring a kid into an adult gym, they think it's just playland.
Yeah.
They start running around, getting the exercise balls out and bouncing on them, climbing on the weight machines, turning the treadmills on full blast. Oh, here comes the police. Here comes the popo.
Yep.
That's why they're having too much fun. Anyway, and we would wrangle all the time with how to handle that. Like, do we tell this person to watch their kids? Basically, we would go over to the kid about 10 times and say, okay, little Johnny, you know, you gotta get off there. You're going to hurt yourself. And then when you said something, then the mom would hear you. oh, yeah, come here, little Johnny. Come over here. Sit down here. Don't do that. Then they'd leave little Johnny again. And little Johnny go somewhere else. Then our gym attendants would, all right, little Johnny, don't bounce on the balls. You're going to hurt yourself. Then the parent would come over. Little Johnny, I need you to sit over here. Move little Johnny back to his little spot again.
Yep.
And this that cycle just repeat over and over and over. And we always wrangle with, do we go to the parents and just say,
hey, next time don't bring your kid.
Right. If you do that, then you lose a customer forever. They're going to hate you. They're never going to admit that
their kid's a little jerk.
Right. I don't know
and
how
I
you handle
get
it.
I get it. All right. I feel sorry for people trying to raise kids. I get it that you don't have a babysitter to be able to do some stuff. But if you can't control your kid in public, either leave them at home or you stay at home.
I agree. And the thing is, you can't make a blanket rule. Because some parents bring their kids in.
And they're well behaved.
They sit on in the corner on an iPad or something, and they just sit there the whole time and cause zero problems.
Yeah.
They're like little adults.
Yep.
That's phenomenal. And if they're on Zoloft or some ever, then whatever the fuck it takes. I don't care. Then
better parenting through chemistry.
Then give your kids whatever the hell it takes to make them sit still for 30 minutes or an hour while you're doing adult things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is 100%. I'm exactly like you. If your kid's behaved, you know, if your kid isn't busting up $1,000 worth of makeup, if you're shopping in Sephora, by hell, you know that is expensive makeup and you don't let your kid run around and act like that. Okay. And there was all kinds of oh, your mom shaming and stuff like that on the Facebook post.
Well, maybe we are shaming.
We're telling.
We are mom shaming.
If your kids are running around, and I get it. Sometimes they're just being kids. Take them somewhere else. I realize you don't get to go shopping at that moment. But, like, do society a favor. This is a public service announcement. Take your rowdy kid out of the store. Like, people have quit doing that now. It doesn't matter where you're at. You can be in a nice restaurant and somebody with a kid that's just crying on and on and on and on and on. And they won't quiet them or take them to the bathroom or what. I mean, I don't know what you need to do.
I'm surprised that there's still an etiquette that seems to halfway maintain itself in movie theaters. That seems to be
one place
that somehow parents get it. I don't know if it's just the peer pressure, the invisible pressure around you, or when your kid acts up, some invisible person in the back goes, shh.
Yeah.
Or something.
For all you shushers in the movie, we love you.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm surprised that hasn't.
Yeah, they do all the announcements at the beginning of the movie.
You know, that helps. At one point, I used to think, why do they do, who doesn't know not to talk during a movie? Who doesn't know not to text and open your phone during a movie? Why do they need all these signs? No, I get it. The more signs, the better.
Yeah.
That stupid song about signs, that is a stupid fucking song. We need a million signs.
Yeah.
We need signs everywhere. A million signs people.
No. There comes a point.
No.
No, there does. Hank, you go too far sometimes. There comes a point where the signs become ridiculous and it's overkill.
Jesus, I'm joking. Come on, lighten up, Petra.
Okay, but like there comes a point though when you've reached the saturation point.
Lighten up.
Okay.
All right. Here's the point. I'm getting ready to put signs up in our buildings about not flushing diapers, tampons, anything. Basically, don't flush anything but turds, pee, and toilet paper in this commode because people are so stupid they don't even know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, that song, Signs, yeah. Put them up. I'm disagreeing with that song.
Okay.
Now, what else you got over there? And that was in Sephora. So,
yes.
So, yeah. Take care of your kids. Don't bring them in Sephora if they're going to make finger paint with the
Oh, it's
whatever the hell they did, right?
It is, and I know that some people just want to blast, you know. And it is, it's an extravagance, but
What about
we talk about Justice League?
What about the old Justice League?
Let's get on a good subject so we don't fight anymore.
I'm not one to fight, but I mean, this is a good fodder for the podcast. I'm making a joke about signs. You're like, you just take this too seriously, and we do not need all these signs. Like, come on,
I could not tell that you were joking.
Well, I was.
All right. Well, I couldn't tell.
Okay. Well, I was joking. No, I don't guess we need signs everywhere. But I've certainly changed my opinion on.
I think it needs to be thought out and what is attention getting. And I think that the movie theaters are doing a great job of putting it right there where it needs to be, right at the moment.
Yeah, don't text, don't talk, all that kind of crap.
Shut up.
Yeah, basically shut the hell up and be a decent human being. Yeah, that's nice. So, if some signs, yeah, that's all I'm saying. All right, what do you think about Justice?
That was weird. That was such a weird conversation there. I love you.
Well, it was weird. I love you too, but my goodness, it seems like everything I'm saying, you're like taking it as so serious. Like, you know, come on, it's all good.
Are you sure about that? All right.
No.
All right. Well, we just watched Justice League this afternoon, and it was awesome, I think.
It's November. It's been cold. It's nice to sit in a warm theater for a couple of hours, just zone out, I think.
And eat way too much popcorn.
And eat too much popcorn.
We ate popcorn for dinner. We had popcorn for dinner.
Well, what did you think about Justice League?
I really liked it. I was prepared for... not a great movie. I was prepared for another Suicide Squad, which I liked Suicide Squad.
You're the only one. And that's okay.
In some ways, but I know it's not a good movie. Like I enjoyed, it's a guilty pleasure movie for me. I know it's not a good movie, but I enjoyed parts of it.
Well, that's good.
All right. But Justice League, I thought, beginning to end, like 20 minutes into it, I was like, what are people bitching about? I can't find anything wrong with this.
I was like you. Exactly. I was afraid it was going to be, what was he just said? Suicide Squad. I was afraid it was going to be Suicide Squad too. But maybe they learned their lesson. Didn't we hear something that Justice League had gotten a rewrite or some major editing or something?
Speaking of which, I saw Joss Whedon had a writing credit on it.
Did he?
Yeah. Quietly, but...
Well, maybe after Suicide Squad, they went back and like, all right, we've got to cut out some of this bullshit.
Yeah. It can't be all eye dazzle and... I don't know. All right. What they said about, what was it, the Batman versus Superman, how it was just one, it didn't feel like a continuous story. It was just like one moment plastered after another moment. Like it didn't feel like a story was being told. And I didn't get that feel from this movie. I felt like it was very well crafted and a story went from beginning to end and they introduced characters, but they didn't go off on wild, crazy tangents for an hour with each character. I thought it was good.
I like that they didn't have a lot of goofy characters that meant nothing. I think that was their problem with Suicide Squad. Like I keep saying, the alligator guy, the boomerang guy. There was another guy that died really soon.
Rope guy.
Yeah, but whatever. Those were just worthless, wasted characters.
Yeah, they weren't developed.
This movie, the characters that you have, they didn't spend a whole hour on each person on their backstory.
Well, and two.
That was
like,
nice. Who's the speedy guy? The Flash?
The Flash, yeah.
They don't. Basically, you just meet him and he's like, okay. And he's the comic relief.
He's funny. He's hella funny.
You only thing you hear is basically somewhere in the dialogue they weave in that he was struck by lightning and that's how he ended up fast. Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need any
more. Too much. Like they kind of a little bit of a joke. Yeah. And the cyborg guy, I've never even heard of cyborg. I mean, I didn't read a lot of DC comics. I've never even heard of him before this movie. And they give you enough to be impressed with the character and, you know, oh, okay, he's part of the group. But they didn't go out. I mean, maybe he'll have his own movie somewhere down the line and they can dig into right. the deep. But they didn't try to cram all of that into a 2.5 hour movie.
Right. And obviously, FYI, we haven't said anything yet, but there's going to be spoilers here. So yeah. if you want to fast forward.
Run away. Run away.
Right. It's been a while since we saw a movie on opening night. Opening weekend.
Yeah, so. We also saw Thor earlier, but we're kind of late to talk about it. Woo!
Well, let's finish up Justice League here. So you liked it. I liked it.
I liked it. Liked it a lot.
I'm trying to think of anything in particular. Wonder Woman. I mean, she's solid in that role.
She's a good character. She's a good great actress. Woman.
It took them forever to do that.
Yeah. And why the hell? But I'm glad because when they did it right.
I thought it was good. Batman. I don't mind Affleck being Batman. He seems alright to me.
This is the first time I've started liking him. I love the Christopher Nolan trilogy, and I just think what's his name? I can't think of his name right now.
Bale.
Christian Bale. He's really one of my favorite actors right now. He's mm-hmm. solid. I wasn't really ready for a new Batman, and I wasn't really liking Ben Affleck in the role, but this Batman, finally, you started to see a little bit likable about him.
The Aquaman, he was all right. Oh, he wasn't great. Too cheesy.
He was great.
Who's the other one? Cyborg, he was fine. Flash, he's a comic relief.
He was good.
You know, the only thing I can see some critics not liking, they're making, why do they make always the speedy guy, the comic relief dude? Like, it's the same as Quicksilver. In X-Men.
Well, they're mentally fast, too.
that's a good explanation. Is that it?
That's where I'm going to go.
You just stay right with that. I think it's more copycat BS as far as that goes, but
oh, come on. DC and Marvel have copied each other back and forth from eternity.
Well, then
like every single character in each universe has a mirror image in the other one.
I get it, but it's just it's okay. It's a minor little dig here, but it's just interesting that not only are they both mirror characters, but they're as far as their abilities, but their also personalities are identical as well. Quicksilver and this guy are interchangeable as far as comic relief, even the scenes.
DC's defense, though, I think the Flash has been on TV for years.
It probably.
So, like, there's already kind of an established,
well, I don't know who came
caricature of that. So,
well, do you know if the Flash on TV is humorous, funny?
I think so.
Comic relief.
That's why it's popular.
Well, which came first, Quicksilver being funny in that scene in the Marvel movie? Because that was the scene.
Mm-hmm.
That scene from I can't keep them all straight, but the Quicksilver scene.
Well, you're attributing all of those characters to the movies. There may be comic backstory to all of these, and I'm going to guess that there is.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe so, in the comic books they are they're funny.
And I think
as well.
It kind of flips and flops. I've seen a lot of Watch Mojo videos on, like, which came first, DC or Marvel. So,
well, anyway. The fast dude is the comic relief in this.
You're just offended by it. It's kind of funny.
I just, why do they have to copy everything? Whatever. But
well, they didn't. There's Aquaman.
It's not the end of the world.
He seems to be one of the
He talks to fish. Can't go wrong with that.
No, I thought he was great. I've liked that guy since he was in Stargate Atlantis. So he's been. Actually, I think I saw something where he was on Baywatch a million years ago, which is funny.
Dang.
And well, he was Khal Drogo.
Well, I'll give Justice League a thumbs up.
Okay.
I'll give it, I don't know, 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10.
I think it gives you what it says. It's as advertised.
I'll give it 8.5 out of 10.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if it's going to win any Academy Awards, any of that kind of stuff, but it's exactly what it's advertised. It's not, it is what it is.
It's an ensemble cast superhero movie from the DC universe, which means it's a little dark.
Like I've said to you, I said coming out of this movie, like, I don't mind if it's action comedy. And if it's going to be a goofy movie and a comedy movie, that's fine. but just don't mix up things. If it's going to be a, if we're going to have a serious semi, I mean, I say quote serious in air quotes, comic book movie.
Yeah.
Then that's fine. And this movie did that within the first minute of this Justice League movie. You're like, okay, this isn't going to be comic relief. Or, I mean, this isn't going to be a action comedy. There might be some comic relief in it, but more than anything, it's going to be kind of a serious movie.
Actually, there were so few comic moments. There were so few comic moments in it that, like, they kind of stood out as being almost a little awkward because it was so serious.
There was enough.
A seriously drawn, I mean, like you said, the Flash was kind of funny, and you know, Wonder Woman got in a zinger, and
everybody had a few lines.
Yeah,
as opposed to like Guardians of the Galaxy,
which is all meant to be funny. It's action comedy.
Action comedy, 100%. The first scene from the new Guardians of the Galaxy is a comedy scene with little baby Groot, and they're fighting a big monster in the background, and it's comedy.
Yeah.
So you know, okay, I've sit back. Don't take it too seriously. It's just going to be funny.
Enjoy the ride, Hank.
Yes. Just that's all these producers have to do is just let people know up front, and it won't be so bad.
I wonder if anybody likes the movie that's awkwardly split 50-50.
Like, I don't see how.
Because they seem to be the ones that suffer at the box office.
You know, as I say that, if something gets 20% on Rotten Tomatoes, those 20% love it. So, yeah, there must be
somebody likes it.
I suppose, unless they're just lying. Come on up there, Chairman Meow.
All right.
We might have a little more. But tell everybody where they can find us while we are kitty on your lap.
HillbillyNerdTalk.com. And from there, you can follow Hank on Twitter, me on Pinterest, or our Facebook page.
Yeah, once in a while we're on Facebook even. Mostly Twitter.
Mostly Twitter. Mostly Pinterest.
Well, mostly Twitter and Pinterest, yeah. You been answering any email? We do have email, too.
We do?
At HillbillyNerdTalk.com.
Do you check that?
Sometimes.
Awesome.
Sometimes.
Twitter's the best. Do we have that?
Twitter's the best way by far.
Yes. Hank is way more, I don't know,
responsive. It's just the easiest. You know, when we started this, some of the podcast things were like, well, you need to be on all these different things. You know, there's Google has something.
Google Chrome, I believe.
It's not Chrome. Anyway, well, I mean, it may be, but I'm saying they have like their own version of Facebook. Google has something. You know, there's a million different
platforms
that you can get on, and you can't be on all of them.
No.
You know, we have lives. It's hard to
absolutely
to get on Twitter once in a while. So yeah, we've decided just to basically concentrate on Pinterest and Twitter. So if you want to get a hold of us, easiest way to do it.
Besides, this is my last article. This is from Select All.
What's this article? I'm confused here.
Facebook's founding president, Sean Parker, Justin Timberlake in The Social Network, if that's how you keep track, told reporters, basically what you already know. You probably don't want to think too closely. Parker explained just how he and other early Facebook bookers built the platform to consume as much of your time and conscious attention as possible.
Well, no shit.
He described the system of users posting content and receiving likes as a social validation feedback loop. That's why it drives me crazy. I haven't been on Facebook in months.
It's very well crafted.
It is.
Because I use it very strategically in our personal life, our Facebook page.
That's
for our business and that kind of stuff. I'm very aware of it. But I can also see how a lot of people can get addicted to that crap.
Yeah.
It's very similar to almost like a slot machine in that there's certain positive reinforcements that get put in front of you for doing certain things.
Yep.
It's very psychological.
Like and shares and
operant conditioning. That's the word.
It's like that damn first episode of that Black Mirror show that we started watching.
It's exactly like that.
She just loses everything because of her. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Any behavior that is positively reinforced is more likely to reoccur. My psychology teacher back in the day in college, he said, And he is exactly right. He said, if you learn anything in college or this class, this will be worth your whole tuition if you'll memorize that and you'd learn that truly. And he's exactly right. Through your whole life, anything, any situation, anything, if you positively reinforce another person for doing a behavior, that behavior is more likely to reoccur. It doesn't mean it's a fact that it's going to.
But it's more likely.
But it's more likely, and the more you can influence the world, it helps.
Through positive behavior.
Positive reinforcement, absolutely.
All right.
So your article
there. They definitely did that. And that was article was by Madison Malone Kircher. Thank you, lady.
Well, so they were, again, they were just smart to begin with to do that.
Yeah, but every time you see, anybody wondered about that, yes, it is.
It was designed.
It is a soul-sucking.
Well, even when you sign on to Facebook and you see you have the little bell thing and you've got like 20 different things, the first thing you click on is that to see who's commented on your stuff and what have they said and how many thumbs up did you get and all this. It's positively reinforcing you rewarding you for even opening the app.
Because
something's going to be on there. There's going to be some notification of something. I know they've designed it that way. You're going to get some positive reinforcement just for even opening the app. There's going to be something.
Yeah. And it scares me. I don't like that.
And before you know it, you open it all the time.
I won't do it. Like, I literally haven't been on, like, I get these pop-up messages that you have, you know, 179 notifications waiting on Facebook and blah, blah. And I just won't, me off. Like, I want to erase the app completely.
Yeah, but you're hooked on Pinterest. What's the difference?
I don't know.
I've asked the question of all questions.
You have. I'm like, I don't know what the difference is. The difference is.
And when I say addicted, I'm being silly. I hope you understand that.
I know you are. I mean, we pick on each other back and forth about some stuff like that. But I don't know. There's somehow. Pinterest is like pictures generally that people have photoshopped together. It's not people's real lives looking for real verification. Does that make sense?
I guess. I mean, yeah.
It's somehow a step back from reality.
It's a step back from their real life.
Yeah.
I can go with that. Yeah.
Okay. You made me think there, and I did. And I gave you a real answer, so.
Well, thank God. Now you can be addicted and be, oh, okay. I came up with that a way to rationalize all that in my head.
Three.
Good job.
Three birds tonight, Hank.
Good job,
three.
Louis. Good job, Louis C.K.
You are keeping track of how many times Hank gets flipped off in one evening. Seriously.
Oh, well. Well, at least you're paying attention to me, I suppose.
Make it kind of hard.
Some attention's better than no attention, I suppose. I want to talk about one more thing before we get
off here. Okay.
You have bought something for our bedroom that has been amazing. It's helped our sex life immensely. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Tell everybody this simple little thing that will improve your sex life beyond belief. Is it like Charmed?
It's the magic orb.
The magic orb.
I've had it at Home Depot.
Home Depot?
It was $20. And it's this little white nightlight that goes, it does the rainbow. It's like red, orange.
It's a bowling ball that lights up on a stand.
Yeah.
An internally lit bowling ball on a stand is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
It changes colors.
Lighting. It's mood lighting. We've had the best sex of our lives since I got that. So you can make fun of me all you want to.
I think it's awesome. What I just say, I'm telling everybody to get it. We turn off all the lights except that stupid moon ball. And the moon ball turns colors and it is just so fun.
It's just some good mood lighting. I'm so embarrassed, and I know you can hear it in my voice.
Well,
We'll put a link to the magic glowing orb.
You know what looks exactly? It looks exactly like the glowing orb from God is an obscure reference. Just how old we are, but that dumb 80s cartoon movie, Heavy Metal. It's the orb from the movie.
Is it real? Yes,
Heavy Metal.
Yeah, it's about that size.
Which is a goofy movie, by the way.
Yeah, this was just in the lighting section of Home Depot by, like, the lava lamps and stuff. And I was walking past it, and it was going through the colors. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I want one. And I thought you were going to make fun of me, but it has become...
Well, I did make fun of you, awesome. But it's still funny. And it's still awesome. Sometimes it's the slightest little thing can just, I don't know. It's just been fun. Maybe it's just a total coincidence, but I think it's...
I think it's funny.
I think it's funny.
I think it's embarrassing that you brought it up.
The magic sex orb.
Is that what we're going to put on our show notes? The magic sex orb.
The magic sex orb.
All right, everybody. On that note, we're going to get off of here. We'll talk to you later. Bye.